Welcome to episode 520 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. For the past 2 weeks, we've been exploring messages to seven churches in the book of Revelation in the context of our consideration of the church as a peculiar institution. While these messages were conveyed to actual people who lived almost 2,000 years ago, these messages have lingering relevance for us in the modern age. To summarize the message of the church at Ephesus, the first of these seven churches, don't lose your love for God's truth or his people. During the time of the Bible, Ephesus was arguably one of the world's greatest cities and played a major role in the development of Christianity. Yet for all the magnitude of this once great city, today it is nothing but ruins. In Revelation 2 verses 1 to 7, Jesus admonishes the church for forsaking its first love. Rather than uphold the sanctity of the Christian faith, the church had largely sold out to the political powers of the city. Rather than shine as a beacon of Christian faith, hope, and love, the church of Ephesus had aligned itself with the powers of darkness and embraced the vile nature of corrupt politics. Is the modern church in America overly enmeshed in politics? Is the church demonizing people who don't align with them politically? Has the church become too partisan? Despite its hard work and doctrinal integrity, Christ faults the Ephesian church for having forsaken the love they had at first. A church that upholds doctrinal purity at the expense of showing love is just as flawed as a church that upholds congregational harmony at the expense of truthful teachings. Instead, Jesus reveals that a church fashioned in his image must teach God's truth in love. Smyrna was home to a large Jewish community hostile to Christianity. Smyrna was a beautiful and wealthy city, but also was a center of mandated emperor worship. Refusing to comply with the mandate could lead to the loss of legal status, to persecution, and even to martyrdom. To summarize the message to the church at Smyrna, remain faithful in the face of tribulation and poverty. Like the church of Smyrna, Christians are persecuted worldwide in obvious and insidious ways. This letter warns all Christians that although we may suffer greatly, the length of tribulation will be short compared to the promise of eternal life. The city of Pergamon was renowned for its pagan practices. The letter to the church in this city lauds the congregation for upholding its faith despite the city's perversive pagan influences. The letter then addresses the church's sin by denouncing some of its members for following false teachings that brought about religious and moral compromise. To summarize the message to the church at Pergamon, resist Satan's influence even to death if necessary. Like the Christians in Pergamon, it's easy to normalize the non-Christian behavior of those around us and allow that behavior to dilute our values. But the Bible urges us to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind in accordance with God's word. Thyatira was a wealthy commercial city. Jesus' letter to the church of Thyatira praises it for growing in faith and service. The church's downfall was its devotion to a false prophet that led some members to commit idolatry and immorality. Although the false prophet remained unrepentant, Jesus affirms that the congregation can still repent by turning away from the prophet's ways. To summarize the message to the church at Thyatira, resist false teaching. Just as some in the church of Thyatira were led astray by a false prophet, Christians today fall prey to cult leaders, occult practices, and other false teachings. To share in Christ's victory, we are to avoid these so-called deep secrets of Satan and hold firm to Christ's teachings. The same John who writes the book of Revelation warns in 1 John 4 verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Just because someone is charismatic, just because someone has a big following, just because someone is endorsed by your pastor, does not mean that person is aligned with Christ. Too many have embraced falsehood unsuspectingly. Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Judge your teachers or leaders according to whether their words and actions are consistent with the 10 guidelines for abundant living. Sardis had a glorious history, but by the Roman period, the city had lost its prestige. While the city was still enjoying wealth, its glory was rooted in its past history rather than its present reality. The ancient city had been built on top of a steep hill and was nearly impregnable. Because the citizens felt so secure, the city walls were guarded carelessly. Jesus faults the church of Sardis for maintaining an outward appearance of being alive while actually being spiritually dead. Alluding to the city's history of prior surprise attacks, Jesus warns the congregation to wake up and repent, lest he come like a thief to bestow his judgment. To summarize the message to the church at Sardis, don't neglect the things you have learned. Maintain your zeal for the truth. Today, Christians can fall into the trap that ensnared the church in Sardis if we merely go through the motions of practicing our faith without really feeding our spirit. We can avoid becoming the living dead by engaging in our faith through Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and ministry. Philadelphia was home to a synagogue community hostile to Christians. Christ praises the Church of Philadelphia for remaining faithful in the face of trials despite their limited strength. To summarize the message to the church at Philadelphia, persevere and walk through the doors God opens. It seems that the Philadelphian church had passed through times as tough as previous churches, but their attitude seems to have been different. Their faith and their cooperation with God has been noticed and appreciated by the Savior despite their quote-unquote little strength. The message to Philadelphia shows us the blessings that come when we maintain our faith despite life's tribulations. In fact, those who persevere despite weaknesses will stand strong as pillars in heaven. The last church is Laodicea. Laodicea was a prosperous industrial and commercial center. Jesus' letter to the church of Laodicea wastes no time denouncing the congregation for its lukewarm faith, threatening to spit the congregation out of his mouth. Oh boy. To summarize the message of the church at Laodicea, make a decision whose side you're going to be on. And once decided, go all in. Forget about fence sitting. Forget about being wishy-washy as a Christian. Who are you following? Follow with zeal. In concluding each message, Jesus makes promises to those in the churches who accept his counsel. One might observe, however, that along with the evident spiritual decline in the churches, there is a proportionate increase in promises given. Ephesus, to whom Jesus gives the first message, receives only one promise. As each church follows the downward spiritual trend, each one receives more promises than the previous church. Finally, the church in Laodicea, while given only one promise, receives the greatest promise of all, to share Jesus' throne. What is the state of the church you attend today? What can you do to improve it? Father, thank you for the lessons we learned from studying the messages to the seven churches. Help us to pay close attention, and may we be transformed by hearing, understanding, and applying these lessons. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.